Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's MIRO.com/brainstorm now.
Dave Moore
on Today FM
podcast.
Jim Elliott, US comedian, but living here for a long time, is living in for here. A chat. Where in the States are you from, Jim?
I'm from Washington, D.C. I grew up in the suburbs outside of Washington, D.C., in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Not a state.
Commonwealth, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the kind of thing where when I drive past Crow Park, no matter how many times I drive past, I still have to look at it? If you drove past the White House or the...
Every time.
You know, the monument, you just have to stare.
The best
no matter
part
what.
Is because there's a couple of airports in D.C. There's Dulles, which is way out in the sticks. That's right. The international airport. There's a local airport, Reagan National, and it's right on the river. And if the wind is in the right direction and you come flying east over the Potomac River and you're sitting on the left side of the plane, you can see the entire mall all lit up. Washington Monument, White House, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial. It's just, it warms the heart. You can see the reflecting pool and all the tourists milling around. It's a great thing. I've actually flown in and out of that airport on the 4th of July when the fireworks display is going off over the mall.
Let's talk fireworks, right? Because this is obviously a huge thing in American culture.
Oh, yeah.
Has it always been... like related to when did the fireworks come in? Maybe you don't know.
I was actually Googling that in like 1779. So it only took them a couple of years for them to say, because the first thing they did was say, okay, well, it's a national holiday.
Sure.
That means that the soldiers are all off. So if the soldiers are off, if they were anywhere near their homes, they could get home for the weekend.
Gotcha.
And soldiers have access to explosives.
So
they would take a couple of shells and be like, all right, well, come on around. We're all going to blow this stuff up. And fireworks became a huge thing. Fireworks are a thing. So if you're in the big cities, obviously, if you're in New York or San Francisco or D.C., there's going to be a giant municipal display. But even if you live in some town with a population of 10,000, they are going to raise a bunch of money around about May or June and spend it on fireworks. Everybody goes down to the local high school, sit in the bleachers. There'll be barbecues. Maybe there'll be a couple of bands playing. And then when it gets dark, they'll set off fireworks.
And are there... like year-round fireworks stores, or are these just like there's a guy who comes to town in late June?
In late June, every parking lot will have a couple of trailers just open up with a fireworks display. But
gotcha.
There are states where there are year-round fireworks stores. And the reason that those states have year-round fireworks stores is because those are the states where you can buy the big ones.
Right.
So like
okay.
Every state's got different rules. Like in Virginia, you can only buy fireworks that will stay on the ground.
So stuff
that will spit up into the air, you know what I mean?
Or a Catherine wheel, whatever.
Kind of thing. But if you're willing to drive a couple hours and you want to go down to Tennessee or South Carolina, you can get the big mortar shells where you drop them in and you count to five, and then 500 feet above you, it explodes a giant thing. So fireworks were always part of the thing that you would sort of grow up around and playing with. But you want to be careful with them.
Yes, you do, everyone listening, particularly the children.
You want to be careful with them. If you're listening to this at home, what I want you to do right now is I want you to go to YouTube. I want you to look up a career highlight video of a New York Giants defensive end named Jason Pierre-Paul.
Okay.
Two-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, unbelievable defensive lineman, would explode through the line by himself and bring down the quarterback.
Okay.
A monster of a guy.
The guy who tries to sack the quarterback.
Exactly.
We don't really know what a defensive lineman is, but that now makes sense.
Yep,
gotcha.
Yep. Here's the thing. 4th of July, he's down in Florida. They're setting off fireworks. He's a rich guy. He bought fireworks for the neighborhood. They get to the end of the night. One of his buddies like, hey, there's still one box we didn't open yet. It's still left in the U-Haul. So they go by, and he's holding it. He's trying to light something off. He tries to light it a couple of times, and it won't light. Pro tip, kids. If it won't light the first time, throw it in a bucket of water. Okay, that one's a dud.
There's something wrong with it. Okay.
He didn't do that.
Oh, no.
He persisted.
I know
he tried to light it
now.
A bunch of times. Boom. Blows up in his hand. Once you've watched the career highlights of him, so you know what an amazing athlete he was, now I want you to Google Jason Pierre-Paul hand. do not do this if you are currently eating.
Wow.
Because
he did himself some damage.
He blew off two of his fingers, mangled. Now, in fairness to him, a bunch of surgeries later, about 10 months later, he was playing again. So
I suppose, and this will either demonstrate my vague knowledge of NFL or prove me to be a complete charlatan, but if he is a defensive lineman, mm-hmm. he's not a wide receiver in that he doesn't have to catch the ball, he just has to hurt somebody.
He just has to hurt somebody, so he can just get his body on somebody. He's still got one hand that can bring it down, and that guy, one hand, he'd tackle you, no
enough.
Problem.
Amazing. Jim, you were saying to me that the 4th of July is a pretty random date, because I assume that was when that independence was declared.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
not
wrong.
True.
No.
That's not true.
So when was it?
Congress voted on the Lee Resolution, which was Robert Henry Lee from Virginia, who put a resolution, said, all right, the United Colonies shall henceforth be independent states.
Right.
And Congress voted for that 12-1. There were only 13 colonies at the time, on July 2nd. And the document, the Declaration of Independence, the famous one with the big John Hancock, signature. So Thomas Jefferson wrote it, right? But they only told him that they wanted him to write it about 5 days earlier. So it took him that long because there had been a bunch of proposals and resolutions and what should we do. So he had to assemble all that. He dated that document July 4th. That's why we celebrate on the 4th of July.
But when was it signed?
That document didn't collect all of the signatures until August 2nd.
Which is amazing.
That's bureaucracy for you. Like, listen, if we have to sign off on an expense report in your company, can you get everybody to do that on the same day you generate the report? And you guys got emailed. These guys are dealing with horses and they got to get to Philly and they got to get bent down to Richmond.
That's so true. You've been here a long time now. 2008. Okay,
yeah,
so look, 16 years. You are truly an adopted Irishman at this stage. But, like, I often wonder, would you make a beeline for home or the US in general around this time of the year? Would it be like, okay, we're going for a summer holiday. Let's make sure we're there for July 4th. But if it happens, it happens.
Now, right. It happens that it's during the summertime. So sometimes it does happen.
Sure.
But like this summer, I'm going back to the States, but not until August because your personal holidays are kind of more important. It's my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations to them.
Congratulations to Babs and Jeff.
Babs and Jeff, legends.
Babs and Jeff, 50 years together. But we're getting the whole family together, big spread. It's going to be fun. We're
and have you? You have siblings in the U.S.?
I have siblings all over the U.S. So, yeah, we grew up outside of D.C. I got a brother in Brooklyn with a couple of kids. I got a brother in Orlando. He just had a kid. I'm going to get to meet his new son for the first time.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And then my sister's the only one left in Virginia.
Okay, so she's around.
People just spread out. That's what happens.
And given that you then spread, I mean, look, because obviously, I suppose sometimes Irish people, we think it's wild if someone moves from one village to the next village.
I don't know. You guys spread out.
No, we do. I know the diaspora is there, but I'm talking about like if you're local, living local and you move. Whereas like Americans tend to, you know, go to college somewhere else and maybe then on one side of the country, having, you know, be from the Midwest, go to college on the West Coast and then live in the East Coast. Like you guys can travel across a continent, you know, really easily and it'd be really normal.
We just have a different attitude towards distance than you guys do, just because the distances are great. It's like if you ever talk to an Australian, they will refer to a 14-hour flight as not bad, because that's what they're used to.
That's so
true. Whereas, and that's the same thing here. Like, I grew up, a 4-hour drive, you don't even call that a road trip.
Right.
You're not going to make a mixtape for that. It's only 4 hours. It's no big deal. Whereas now, living in Ireland, my wife and I will drive from Dublin to Galway and we will stop twice.
I hear you.
It's just a different attitude.
It is a different attitude. Do your parents, like, did they ever kind of jaws go on the floor and go, why are you going to Ireland? Like,
I mean, they had met my girlfriend at the time, so they got it.
Okay.
They understood.
They knew why.
But I'll tell you this. I've been here 16 years. My mother will still send me real estate listings in her neighborhood. So she'll be like, oh, that little house on the corner is up for sale. It's actually pretty cheap because half of it burned down 2 years ago.
You should buy
it. It's a nice fixer-upper. You could move in. You'd be right around the corner. You could watch our dog.
It's good to know that all mammies, American and Irish, are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And then in terms of celebrating the 4th of July here in Ireland, is it something that you do with your wife, with your family? Like, do you do it?
I've gotten a bunch of happy 4th of July text messages from my Irish family and from friends today. So
great.
Everybody knows it's a thing.
Do you have dinner? Do you do fireworks?
We'll have dinner. We're just going to grill up some chicken and burgers, and I will put on a baseball game. That's one thing in America. Every single Major League Baseball team is playing on the 4th of July. If you ever go to the States, and it doesn't matter where you go to Cincinnati, Chicago, New York, take an afternoon, try to go to a ball game. I will grant that it is an excessively boring sport to try to watch on television.
Right.
I will grant you that. But going to a game is about the most wholesome slice of Americana you'll ever experience.
Do you know what? I have to agree with you, because in about 97, I think it was, or 96, 97, a friend of mine was doing his J1. He was in Chicago, and I went over and visited him, and we were hanging around, and actually I saw one of the best storefronts I've ever seen. So back in the 90s, beepers were a thing. Like,
yep.
So you'd put a pager on your belt and people would call and you could like read the little message or call them back, whatever. Anyway, the store was literally called Walk In Weepin', Dance Out Beepin', which I thought was incredible. But we went to a, now gotta get this right, a Cubs game or a White Sox game.
They're both in Chicago.
I think
on
it was
the north
White
or south
Sox
side of the city.
And across from the stadium there were houses where guys, you could pay them money, they would let you in, you sit on the flat roof,
yep,
and you look across at the baseball game. Now listen, we were there. It was barbecue, beers, you know, Chicago in the summertime.
Wonderful.
Everything was amazing. I didn't really catch much of the sport,
but
it was an incredible experience.
That's okay. And that's the thing about baseball. You kind of only have to pay attention for 2 seconds every 30 seconds. That's why it's a great thing to do with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. You can sit there and catch up the entire time and you'd be like, oh, your wife said that. Jeez, boy, I wonder if you're going to... Hang on a second. There's the pitch. Okay, so she said that, and you get a lot of time to catch up, and you just sit in the sun, and there's guys walking by every 5 minutes going, hot dogs,
cold
beer, pretzels. You don't have to move. It's the best.
It is the dream, in fairness. Jim, it's been a dream to talk to you, but before I let you go, a couple of things. One, where can people go see you? Because I know you support my good friend Neil Delamere, my podcast co-host.
Yeah.
So people will often see you with him.
Yep.
You're working with Charles Regan, Deirdre O'Kane, Floyd Anson Hogg.
Yep.
But what about like you? Can we go and see you?
Yes. Well, this is the first time I've ever done that. So earlier this year, I put together a tour of Ireland, just my own show. Just come see me for an hour. And it did great. We sold out in Galway, sold out in Kilkenny,
amazing,
sold out two dates in Dublin. So those tour dates, I did my first show in Belfast by myself.
Nice.
International tour.
There you go.
But if Sinn Féin win, it won't be an international tour anymore. So that's, selfishly, I'm not rooting for that. But no, I can't talk about it right now. My producer, I was arguing with him on the phone this morning. I have a giant tour announcement for Dublin and Cork coming up next week.
Okay, but we can keep an eye on your socials.
At Jim Elliot Comedy, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Kids, if you're listening, follow me on TikTok. I never don't feel creepy asking that, a 44-year-old man.
At Jim Elliot Comedy is the place to go. Right, before I do let you go, though, I need to ask you a couple of questions in the quickfire round.
Hit me.
Number one, what are you currently obsessed with? Is there something in your life? Could be anything. Could be
a show, an app,
a meal, a person, what?
Dave, I'm getting really into Dua Lipa. I'm getting really into Dua Lipa. It's nothing but bangers. And I can't. It's not. We're going to go see it. We're going to go to Portugal next week for a festival. I'm going to be the old guy in the back.
I don't think you'll be alone.
I'm going to dance my feet off at this thing. I can't stop listening to it.
That's great, because I've interviewed her in this exact scenario, and she is super nice. You'd be glad to know.
Well, if I meet her, I'll tell her you said hey.
Do. Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Most famous person in my phone. Ice Cube follows me on Twitter.
Get off!
How's that?
Yeah, pretty damn good.
Yeah. I went for a couple afternoons where I was bored at work and I was just tweeting out puns about American hip-hop from the 90s. And a bunch of radio stations in Atlanta and LA retweeted a bunch of them, and Ice Cube started following
me. That is...
So that's
epic. That counts.
By the way, if you... I know there's a sizable population of Dublin and Ireland that works for American multinationals.
True.
Hey, everybody. Enjoy your quiet inbox and meeting-free work day today.
Of course, that's it. Yeah, they're literally
not
doing next to nothing.
So you don't burn a day of PTO on it.
But
you can put your feet up a little bit.
Tell me this: when you were 8 years old, you would have been in
1988. I would have been second or third grade, maybe.
Okay, and so did you have lunches in school, or did you bring a lunchbox?
I brought a lunch bag.
Lunch bag,
Brown paper bag. Okay, so I had about 3 sandwiches that I would cycle through every 4 or 5 years. My mom made my lunches.
Okay,
she had four kids of the same age.
Yeah.
So here's probably, it was either a chunky peanut butter on white bread, or it was a ham, cheese, mayo, and mustard, also on white bread. But here's the thing that Barbara would always do. Are you familiar with a Hershey's Kiss?
Yes, in the little
tiny little triangle, individually wrapped foil. And my mom would always put a Hershey's Kiss in my lunchbox. You say, because I'm not there. So there you go.
Super cute. Although we've all tasted Hershey's Kisses and we know they're gross. Sorry, on America's Day.
We're doing our best, man. You try to make high fructose corn syrup into something nice when you should be using sugar.
True. The final question I ask all my guests is, do you wash your legs in the shower? Because I don't.
Of course. You're filthy. I can smell your legs from here.
Hard to argue. Jim Elliot, thank you so much. Follow him at Jim Elliot Comedy. It's Today FM and a very happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Dave Moore
on Today FM
podcast.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.